welcome back to the Love Me Right Summit. Now, our next speaker is a 9-year holistic healer and prospective metamorphose. We'll have to ask her more about that. And she holds space for all individuals to change all aspects of their lives through the 5 bodies. She provides tailored energy healing, readings, crystal jewelry, retreats, and now a published author. Introducing Nefer Soul. I am so excited to have you speak to the women today. So thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
So tell them about you and, you know, how you started on your journey and really what brought you here.
Yeah. So for me, I feel like life kind of started with me already just aware of everything, right? Where I'm like, I don't remember things being like this. And it was always so weird because I would ask my mom, like, is what I'm feeling normal? And she kind of didn't really understand what I was saying. So I kind of just put things to the side. But as I got older and older, you know, getting out of childhood and just becoming more intelligent, like, oh, there's books. Okay, there's these things. So then that's when I really started to look for the questions that I had. Because I always just felt overly aware. I also noticed, like, in my family, they would ask me questions that they would typically ask an adult because I just already had this understanding, right? So that just always made me question myself because I'm like, clearly I'm different from everyone else. So what does this mean? Like, it was just very obvious and very clear that things were different, right? So from there, I just kept getting into studying, reading books, learning about different ideologies. I clinged the most to Buddhism because I really loved that they just looked at themselves as a practice. They looked at themselves as just a way of life, of just understanding how to become one with everything. It didn't really segregate anything. It didn't really have anything specifically that you needed to do other than just be a good person, tune in with nature, and just connect with everything. And I'm like, this really makes the most sense to me. So then that's what really led me to meditation and just life, understanding what life is and understanding that my questions, my differentness, my knowingness just already made sense to other people. And just because my family didn't understand where I was coming from, it didn't mean that I was just crazy or just out of the box, right? It was just like, no, you have a purpose. You have an understanding. You just need to understand what that is. So yeah, that kind of just led me down rabbit hole after rabbit hole that essentially all led me to self.
Yeah.
And that's when I really realized, like, oh, okay. So everything is just really self. And as within, so without, that started to really become my mantra of like, okay, so everything that I am, I have to redirect looking for that outside. You know, it was amazing reading the books and getting everybody else's perspective. But what I noticed is everything just brought it back 360 to you. It's still just about you. So what does that look like? And from there, that's when I really took meditation to the next level. And I really understood that, okay, unconditional love, self, all of these things, God, the universe, all of that is me. So then that's when I really started to take my studies from what everybody else was saying and bringing it back to, but how do I feel? What do I understand? What do I need internally? So then that's what I realized, like, one of my main gifts being like a perspective metamorphosis is I really help teach people to shift the perspective, bring it all back to you, because that's what my main founding was, self. And that's why I'm so excited to do this summit and talk about love, because I feel like everything just became so external. And a big reason why we have so much issues with relationships, whether they're platonic, self, romantic, it all revolves around your understanding of self.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Oh, girl, that's one of the biggest things for me and mine, because I met my husband. I always say, like, before I was chronically single. And so I dated all these bums. And then it was like, once I had that realization that it was me and I started making a few tweaks, I met my husband. And then it's like, we're together, but I technically was still low vibration because I didn't heal all that stuff yet. So I had to do my transformation in the presence of my husband. So it was difficult for me. So did you have a time where you were in a relationship that was like troublesome for you? And how did, were you aware of like the things that you know now, or did you struggle and then find out at the like afterwards, or how did you navigate that?
So that is such a powerful question, especially I feel for people who are already aware and in the spiritual journey, right? You think that everything that you learn is going to show up in your relationships, right? And that's where I really hit rock bottom and was like, oh, wait, that's not how that works. So absolutely, even though I had all this understanding, my relationships were complete chaos. And I think a big part of that was because even though I had all this information, I still needed to heal.
Right.
So the way I would show up in the relationships can tend to be very toxic, very needy, very emotionally distressed. My communication style wasn't the best. Like, so it was very paradoxical because like, how am I meditating, learning all these things, but in the relationships, I'm not having that same example. I'm not manifesting people that can communicate. I'm not manifesting people that are very emotionally intelligent. Like, these are still people that basically match the aspects of me that I'm healing and I'm navigating through and I'm learning about through these texts, through these ideologies. So I would honestly say all of my relationships have been very chaotic. Don't get me wrong, they've had very beautiful, very life-breaking moments where I really learned a lot about myself. I was able to navigate through a lot of different things and understand relationships and spirituality and self through them. But they all definitely had that layer of, you got some shit to work on. You
Right.
know, this isn't it. You thought this was gonna be your forever person? This is chaotic. Like, what are you even thinking about? So, which was interesting because generally I'm not really a person that looks at every relationship as longevity. But in the moment, I'm like, but we're still building, and how do I know what is that long-term relationship unless I'm showing up as that, right?
Right.
So it was kind of still that paradox of, girl, you don't meet nobody. Like, who's to say this is even your husband? But also, like, but how do I also be present and still show up in this relationship like that? So that's where the spirituality in me started to, like, you
Right.
know, that chaos showed up a lot. And then through that, that's where we kind of get into my topic too, that generational lineage of healing, because then I started to notice, I was repeating my mom's relationships.
Right.
And I was like, whoa, like, so just because I'm meditating and I'm spiritual, that didn't mean that I worked on anything. At least not enough that my magnetism changes so that the type of people that comes in are actually healthy, are actually conducive, and actually makes sense. So nope, they were not that great. They were just really like, girl, what are you doing? Like, that's not even the type of person that you want to be involved with. But again, because this whole oneness, I'm like, I'm not judging nobody. So I'm not gonna look at this person just because they have issues. It's like, well, I'm not gonna talk to you. But
Double-edged
then
sword, though, right?
double-edged sword though, because then I still had to learn. But that's still a red flag. That still doesn't mean that this is still somebody to work through these things
Right.
with. This is not somebody to really invest in. This is still your karmic relationships, your karmic cycles that's being played out.
Yeah. And I think too, for women, especially ones that connect with like healing, I've spoken to a lot of women who feel like, well, I'm like a healer. So broken men
Right, like,
find their way
wait.
to me, right? They come to me and I just heal them. And I'm like, no, it's
The
not
red flag.
heal them at all, at all. And I always say that, like for me, like I said, I healed the top layer, right? And then I met my husband. And there was just like an onion underneath. But it's like when you have pain or things that aren't settled, and again, generational, it's like a dog whistle. And that is your frequency. And only those men on that frequency will find their way to you. And it's just toxicity. Like, tell us about this generational trauma that you realized was happening in your relationships. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so again, you know, the perfect example that you brought up was, oh, but I'm the healer, so I'm supposed to help help these people, heal these people. So I'm just trusting the process. But it wasn't until and sorry, mom, if you see this. But my mom was married to somebody that was in jail my whole life, right? And they still had a very decent relationship for the most part. It was just that one thing. And it wasn't until my first boyfriend went to jail, and I was like, hold up.
Oh no.
Hold on. Wait a second. We ain't doing that. That it made me start to really question it. But at the time, I didn't decipher it the way that I did like some years after. I just looked at it as, oh, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm not. Kudos to my mom and being a loyal person, but just seeing what her process looked like, I always told myself I didn't want that for me. I didn't want that type of person, you know, regardless of us not judging, right? So that is what really shook me, because I was like, hold on, I'm not about to be that lady that has to bring groceries and visit you once a weekend or however it's set up. And that's when I really went into the self-healing, and I was like, okay, let me put the pause on relationships and wanting something serious, right?
Right.
Let's start to actually break this down and understand what's happening here. And it took a couple of years of me healing, working through myself to actually pinpoint what that was, which is through a lot of different studies, I ended up finding out, for one, you are an egg in your grandmother,
Absolutely.
right? So if you put that into terms, that means whatever your grandmother is going through emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, that is all getting stored into her genetic composition, which also means it's getting stored in her womb, which also means that it's being put genetically into her eggs. So now, as I start to look into that, I was like, huh, maybe I should think more about their relationships and how that might have trickled down. Because then I started to get this idea of like, okay, we only talk about reincarnation spiritually, but we don't talk about reincarnation physically. So I started to really dive into that more, and I'm like, I think that's what's also happening there. And then I really looked at it, and I'm like, okay, I'm starting to see the patterns and the types of men that my grandma got involved with, the types of men that my mom got involved with, and the results in those relationships. And then that's when I brought it back down to me, and I'm like, oh my God, here I am doing the same thing. So I was like, this makes so much sense, because again, him just going to jail, I was like, nope.
Right.
Something is cycling here. I was spiritual enough to recognize that, right? So
Good.
I'm like, so then again, you know, after years and years of studying after that too, that's when I actually came across this. I forgot who it was. It was a spiritual person that really believed in metaphysics and stuff like that. They also spoke about it from an auric, an energetic space, where they said, your parents, what, and grandparents, you know, everybody down the line, their experiences create an effect into their auric field. So
Right.
this is not also information passed down genetically, but aurically. So
Right.
they was explaining that's why you'll magnetize the same experiences that your parents, your grandparents, your great grandparents experienced, even though you're not feeling the same way as them, even though you're not looking for the same types of relationships or experiences. But it's still that, but why am I still manifesting these types of people? So sometimes, even when you do the healing, you haven't worked on your energy field. So then your energy is still being a paradox to that, because of the generations, that energy is just becoming a part of your family's lineage. You know, we don't think about, like, you know, especially twins, they can do the same action at the same time. So it's like, it's telepathy comes into play. Energy comes into play. So now think about it when it comes to your parents. It's the same thing. You're going to start to still magnetize that until you become that black sheep or golden child to decide that I'm going to be the one to break the cycle. So again, even if you don't resonate with that type of relationship, you still have to play a role in breaking that generational pass down. So then
Right.
that's where your auric field, your energy field, your Merkaba, this etheric essence that you carry, also changes with your physical body, because
Right.
mentally, emotionally, it's still separate from energy,
Right.
even though it's all the same.
Right. I was gonna say, With, I always say that, like, when your parents, like, as parents, if they don't heal something that they've experienced, it's like it passes down to the children to figure out how to heal. And also,
Exactly.
it sounds like your mom was struggling with feeling of maybe feelings of being betrayed or abandoned. And that's why she chose a person long distance, because it was safer, than having someone in her physical presence. Has she ever shared her story as a woman so you can make those connections to you?
With my well, so that was my stepdad. Her and my dad, they separated when I was around one. So I haven't been able to get information when it comes to her relationship with my actual dad, but I was able to talk to her a little bit more about her relationship with my stepdad, which is the person that was incarcerated. So that did help put some of the pieces together. And my grandma, she would talk about some things, but some of them were just passed down from my mom and what she experienced and my uncles and what they would experience. I started just putting it all together because that's another thing, like with my family, they're very big on healing, but there's not much communication about it. Because it kind of always comes back down to like they feel like they're reliving it, or maybe they could be embarrassed, and they don't want to get into details. So I don't have all the pieces. It's kind of just what I would hear or overhear that I'm able to like piece it together, but we wasn't ever really able to get into a real good conversation about it, which I also feel is part of that generational blockage. Because if we can't talk about it, we don't know what it is, right?
It's so true. My mom, because I heard Ayanna Van Zant say that, like, the most important gift that a woman or a mother can give her daughter is her story as a woman. And I didn't understand at first, but then as I started doing my healing journey, I realized that. And my mom, she just threw up one time. She just threw up her story, and I was like, and it just fell in my lap, and all the anger I had towards her dissipated in that moment, because I heard all the things she had been through. And it's like, this woman was just trying to survive emotionally through life, and she just happened to have a child. Like, she's a superwoman, right? Oh, goodness. So when you think about your relationships and all the things that you learn, what would you say to the women that are listening, that, like, where should they start as far as this healing inside and out?
So my go-to for where to start is the lowest form of yourself, right? Which in chakra terms, I utilize the earth star chakra and the root chakra. So you want to start with things that are foundational, your childhood. Even if you can go to as far back to your generations as you can, because like we discussed, that's where it really starts. So if you are able to communicate with your parents and grandparents, that's the even best place to start. But if you don't have that open communication, you will have to definitely start with your childhood. Asking yourself a lot of questions like, did I feel loved? Did I feel supported? Was I hugged? Was I cuddled on? Starting even with the basics of affection, of
They say I love
love.
you, huh?
Did they say I love you? Because I hear a lot that people's parents didn't say that to them. So, you want to start as basic as you can get. As I know that might be something that people overlook a lot, because a lot of my sessions, people don't even start there. Like they always, for some reason, only look at their healing journey from where they are right now. And they'll be like, oh, but I learned this lesson. Why can't I just? I'm like, because you can't start here. You didn't start here. I know you may not think it, but it started when you were a child. And another common thing people would say to that response is, oh, but my mom, my dad, they were great. And I'm like,
And they always come out. It comes out later.
but really?
But actually, I was stuck in my room. Oh, you're like,
And it's not to, make them look bad,
No.
but it's the accountability and the awareness of like our parents were children most of the time when they had us. So you can't put them on that pedestal and say, oh, they were the perfect person. Again, not to bash
They
them.
try their
It's just
best.
that they did their best. So we're still approaching this with the most love, right? But we still have to be real and honest with ourselves. They struggle through their own healing because their parents may not have given them a lot. So we have to realize and take that accountability and be like, oh, well, did I excuse a lot of their behavior because I know they weren't just doing their best.
Right.
Because you have to think about how intelligent you really were as a child to realize, like, dang, mommy don't say I love you or hug me or daddy don't, talk to me.
Right.
You as a child would bypass it and be like, because you don't, again, realize how emotionally intelligent you are, you'll bypass it and be like, it's okay, I don't need it because I have love. I
Right.
have my own love, right? So that you don't realize how you start to suppress
Yeah.
and you become a master suppressive being. So
Yeah.
by the time you get older, you hit adolescence, teenage, adult, you don't realize that you've already mastered manipulated yourself into whether it's people pleasing, into having no boundaries, into not understanding love and relationships because you don't you're already in so much survival mode. So I would absolutely say the best place to start is unpack your childhood. And even if you can't remember your childhood, still think about things and listen to your body because your body will still respond.
Right. And I think a lot of people also they don't want to make their parents feel bad or embarrass their parents. I think because I always when I start a session, it's always like, my parents were fine. And then I'm like, I know your mom did her best. Once I premise, like, I'm not trying to like break your parents down, but a lot of parents, especially their generation, they were not even talking about healing. Like, it was, you got to get through
Exactly.
it. You got to just work, you know? And so they weren't even going there.
They
Absolutely.
didn't know mental health, honestly. And for me specifically, to being a Caribbean person, mental health is something that's definitely suppressed, but seen at the same time is weird. Because we got like the Rastafarian and God is one and we're one with all. So it's like we have it down pat with like the positivity, the gratitude, the being kind, being respectful, but we surpass the mental health, the emotional health, the healing aspect of what does that look like though in order to get to that I and the I am one with all. Like we just kind of skip it and think, oh, if I embody it, that's enough. But it's
Right.
like it's a part of it. Absolutely. You'll still be able to manifest certain things, but you still have to heal.
Yeah.
And I think, also because we all relate to poverty, we all relate to what upbringings look like because of the lack of what we had in society. So we don't realize how much we have, again, suppressed.
Yeah.
Just understanding the self because we're in survival mode.
All the
How am I
time.
going to eat? How am I going to take care of myself? And then that's when we start to use relationships to fill the voids.
Oh yes, girl. I noticed when I knew because when my dad was like he was the only black person in his whole company, right? Like for a
Wow.
long time. And he showed me how to wear the mask, right? And the code switching, right, at work. And then my mom was struggling with things and she would always tell me like no matter what you do like in the night, you get your ass up and go to work. Like she taught me just shove it down. And so my mask was immaculate, girl. I had corporate jobs, all these things. And then 1 year, every like I feel like it was my avatar, like, okay, we're done. We're done fucking around. You're not happy. Like, fuck this mask. And it fell to the floor and shattered. And I could not pretend anymore. And I really had to build my spirit back up. That is no joke what you're saying right now.
And that's another great point to make too, right? Because we become master manipulators, right? So much that it takes until our physical body gets worn out for us to finally break down to then have all of these psychological things unravel. And then that's when we fall into psychosis, we fall into depression, we
Fiction.
start to addiction. Absolutely. That's why everybody smokes so much weed and alcohol. You don't even realize how
Right.
deep you put yourself in, right? So that's also where I feel like this whole topic of even love starts to get discombobulated because it's not until you really hit that enough is enough point that that's usually typically when we all get to that point and be like, okay, well, let me start healing,
Yeah.
right? But we still don't know how to do healing.
Right.
And it's like we shouldn't have to wait for that. So that's why I'm so happy to have spaces like this because it's like let's nip it in the bud. So you
Yes.
don't have to get to the bottom of the bottom so that you don't have to psych yourself into psychosis, because a lot of people also don't realize there is psychosis, especially spiritual people. We absolutely jump into psychosis because then we automatically look into this, oh, let's all go to the 5D. If you're not in 5D, you're not,
Right, avoiding the 3D.
avoiding, you completely avoid it all, and you don't realize that you start surface level healing. So then that's when your gifts start to bet against you. You start seeing all types of things, you start getting triggered, you start getting scared, you disassociate from life. You start saying, oh, I need to leave the matrix, but you don't have a plan. I want to have all this love, but you don't have a plan. I could manifest whatever because I'm just God, but you don't have a plan. And then you start putting yourself back into that karmic loop and getting upset when it's like, why is my spirituality not working for me? Why is all these negative things? So how am I this beautiful goddess or god, but I'm still manifesting these terrible people? So then you start going against your own spirituality, you start going against yourself again, avoiding the healing and only looking towards filling the void. So that's another thing that I do think we need to get realistic with. We're all also addicts. We look at things like spirituality as just another way to fill the void. Like, oh, if I just know how to manifest, if I just know how to listen to this binaural beat, I'm gonna just change it all. But it's like, no, you still have to get to know you and everything that you've gone through and what that created you to be now.
It's so true, because I use the body kinesiology kind of for determining what like the subconscious is holding. And so I will have people, we read their body to determine what it is, and we'll find out what emotions that they need to release. And sometimes we'll get to an emotion and it will say yes, that's the emotion that's being stored. And then we'll ask, can we heal it? Can we release it? And the body will say no. And I'll ask, does it want us to know more information? And it will say yes. And then we have to go through the time periods, find the year that it happened in their life. And I ask them, so can you remember? And then they'll be, oh yeah, and I'll bring up an emotion or a situation. And then I'll ask the body, is this what you wanted us to know? And it'll say yes. And then I'll ask, can we release it now? Yes. So it's like I want you to acknowledge what you've experienced so that it can fully release it. So we can't just suppress it. That's so true. Oh my goodness. We could have this conversation all day, girl. I love this
I
stuff.
know, I know, I know. That's why I really wanted to bring the topic of generation, because I feel like we tend to skip so much of our process, and that's why we stay in a loop and never really heal or change our magnetic frequency or change our emotions or our mental health, our mental stability, because we bypass so much of what really created us. You know, because even if you learn about the chakras, you spend that first 7 years of existence building your foundation. And we all want to start with the third eye. Oh, I'm intuitive. Oh, I
That's
can see spirits.
the
I can
bottom.
channel. I can do this. I can do that. But what about your foundation? Did you start there? Like, so that's always going to be my go-to. Where to start? You start there. You start with your security, your foundation, and all the questions that you could possibly think of. Don't hold yourself back, even if it seems like the smallest question. You have to learn how to dialogue with yourself, which would even stem into what your practice is, which is so beautiful and so necessary. If we don't know how to have a conversation with ourselves, that means you won't know how to heal yourself. And I think that's another thing too, right? Because people are like, I don't know how to heal. I don't know how to get to that point. And I'm like, well, are you able to talk to yourself the same way you talk to another person? You know, if your homegirl's going through something, you asking her all these questions, do you ask yourself all those same questions when you're going through something, or are you just bypassing it? Are you going out to have fun, or you know, distracting yourself? Do you ask yourself all the same questions that you would if it was somebody else comes to ask you that, right? And 9 out of 10, that person starts to realize, oh, I don't know how to talk to myself. And I'm like, well, then how do you expect your body to tell you what's going on if you don't even know how to talk to it? Did you know you could talk to your body and ask
It's
it?
so true. And
Yeah.
there's this other practice, the quantum jumping, right? So
Yeah.
I take some of my clients through it. It's like where we just I have them go into like kind of like a meditative state, and I will have them to interact with their selves, either from the past or from the future, and really look at themselves eye to eye and ask questions, and you will hear a response. Because we're all connected. Our spirit is all connecting to all things, all information, right? So if you're worried or you're scared or you want to ask a question to yourself from childhood, go into a meditative state and find put yourself in the room with your old self and ask questions, and you will hear the answers that you want to know. At least you'll know where to start as far as talking to yourself. If just regular talking to yourself feels weird, just
Doesn't
meditate
work.
and you won't feel weird.
Yeah, and I think that's so powerful too. And to anybody listening, like, don't put so much emphasis either on needing visualizations. Don't put too much emphasis on, oh, but what if I don't hear it? Don't even bet against yourself before you
It's always right.
practice it, right? And also, it takes time to practice something like that. So that's another thing too. So where to start is patience. Getting out all of these pre-existing perspectives. You have to let everything out. You have to let that all out and take away expectation. You have to give yourself a better understanding that this is a process. You can't just go sit with yourself and think you're going to just be able to bring everything out and talk to yourself and see all these versions of yourself. It's a practice, it's a dedication, it's a consistency that is required in order to heal. And also healing and understanding and all of these things is very layered, like we said, right? So don't think that you're supposed to figure this all out now either. Like your healing journey never ends.
It's
And
always, yeah.
that's why if you believe in reincarnation, why I think reincarnation is a thing because of how many layers there really is.
That's what
You
I
can't
believe.
do it all in one lifetime, right? And to piggyback off of that as well is if you can't have these conversations with your parents or your grandparents, you can do the same thing. You can go into a meditative
Absolutely.
state and call on them, right? You make sure that you protect your space. You make sure that you call on this actual person that's not a trickster energy. And you talk to, even if they're alive, you call on them and you ask them to guide you through it. Their higher self will step in and answer the questions that you're looking for.
Absolutely.
So again, the main thing just being you have to be willing, open, patient to go within yourself. And I know a lot of people's response to that too is like, oh, but I don't like sitting with myself. I don't like, it's too much pain.
That's a problem right
Like,
there.
and it's like, but that's the point,
That's the
right?
point.
That's the point. You have to, because we're talking about love, right? If you have the capacity to give all these people all this love, and that's your response for yourself, that's another place, another great place to start. How do you start appreciating yourself more? What do you need to unpack in order to enjoy your own existence?
It's so true. Because think about it. It's like you have people who are comfortable telling you how clingy and possessive they are in a relationship, and they're okay with that. Like, oh, my man got to be up underneath me. I can't, I'm calling his phone. And I'm like, girl, that's not normal, girl. Like, And then you find yourself, and it's the thing I was saying, like, women are so, we're masculine when it comes to what we want. So, like, you really want a relationship. So, there's this guy, and now you're asking him out, and now you're blowing up his phone instead of allowing him to, court you and you receive the energy, then you would know if it's real more often than not. And then you find that the people that step into your life, since you really, really want that relationship, you just take them as they are. And even though this is your circle, you're like, well, they're a square, but let me shave off this side over here and shave this one. And then, next thing you know, both of you are bruised and battered because it's not a fit and you've wasted so much time. Instead of figuring out what you needed inside, you try to fill it with that person and it never works. It never works.
Exactly. And of course we also have contracts, right? We have soul contracts. So some of these situations will be unavoidable. You're gonna still feel drawn to be in this experiences because you still need to learn the lessons, right? So what's just more important is that you're at least trying to understand what's happening in these relationships too, because that's another thing. You have to be able to see the reflection in everything outside of you because it's not Your external reality is not more real than you. It's the opposite. What's inside is going to project outside. That's a perfect example. If you're not sitting and getting to know somebody, if you're just rushing into, oh, but I just feel this connection, I just feel these butterflies, and you're just focused on that, you're focused on fulfilling needs, that is a perfect example of what you're avoiding, right? If you're trying to find your voice, that look at your relationships. Are you getting to know these people? And if not, that means you're not getting to know yourself. And it's actually showing you why you're manifesting these relationships, because it's showing you your own neglect. It's showing you the very answers to the questions that you need in order to start your healing journey. So that is another great place to start, analyzing your relationships, especially your romantic, because we sugarcoat with our family and our friends, but our real versions come out in these romantic relationships. So dissect that. If you're constantly dealing with the same type of man or woman, it's because you're doing it in your own shape or form to yourself. And that's why you keep attracting that. So another thing that we're going to bring into this whole generational perspective too is everyone's favorite reason for why they got themselves involved with somebody that they still felt the red flags, they still felt these things, is because they felt like home. Right. And I'm like, let's unpack that, because I love that you actually brought that up. What did your home life look like? Oh, my dad wasn't there. My mom worked all the time. Nobody hugged me. Nobody loved me. So I'm like, huh. So this person felt like home. Is it correlated? Because you didn't realize what you related home to feel like. So the reason why you got the butterflies, which is actually a red flag, you shouldn't get butterflies. Butterflies was a misconception given to us to keep us in these cycles, but that's actually exciting.
Your intuition's like, wait,
Your
hold
intuition is
on.
like, oh, red flag, you actually don't feel good right now. Abort, abort, abort. But we perceive that it's like, oh no, that just means I feel home with this person. I feel connected. I feel no. If you didn't have the most amazing home life where there's communication, there's healing, there's love, you have to now take accountability that what you perceive home to be is toxic, it's
Absolutely.
unhealed, it's unbalanced. So the reason why you're not able to also manifest a good person is because you don't have an attraction to good.
You have to heal
You
that
have
first.
an a You don't have an attraction to healed. You have an attraction to unhealed. You have an attraction to your trauma, and that's why that person feels like home. Because it's your trauma popping back up, and you're like, oh, wait, this feels familiar. This is why it feels like me. Yeah, because it's your life lessons coming, knocking at the door, like, hey, you're ready to work on this. But you're missing, but you're too worried about, I want to be married. I want to have this long-term relationship, that you bypass everything possible just
You
because you want
don't
this love so bad. And it's
have
like, there's nothing wrong with that, but you still got to balance that. You're actually telling yourself how much you want your own love.
to. If you think about if you're focusing so much on marriage, then you're not focusing on the person. You know, it's like you should just know you're going to get married. That's a affirmative.
Period.
Then you don't have
Right?
to focus on it. Then you can focus on making sure that the person that you did connect with like that is a genuine connection. Like, I want to be this person because not, I want to get married so this will do. Because I think we do that a lot. And I was going to say, if self-trust is the most and only trust you need, you don't need to trust a single other person in this reality because we know everything. Like she said, you'll get those feelings, your intuition. You meet someone. I met this guy one time and he had this domineering like energy, but I thought it was hot. He was
Like,
crazy girl, brought a gun to my house one time. I was
hold
like,
up, that's
okay,
not
you know
what I
what? So
meant.
it's those feelings that we ignore, like the red flags, ignoring, that's betraying ourselves. Like if we were to actually take action and do the best thing for us every single time, we wouldn't have to worry about a cheating man or a violent person because we would have been gone already.
You wouldn't have been attracted to that person to begin with. You would
Perfect.
have seen that person and be like, oh no, that's not it. That's not what it is. And that's why we got this whole saying too of like, oh, good guys, good girls finish last. And it's like, yeah, because people need to heal first. That healing needs to happen in order for a person to actually feel attracted to a good person. And then I think another thing too is like we think so much of a fairy tale, you're not always going to be attracted to the person you're with because
Not right away sometimes.
you go through cycles too. So you have to understand that, for example, say you love chocolate, you're gonna go through phases where you're like, I don't really want that right now, right? As much as you love it. So it's like you have to also see things like that too. It's not always going to be this big romance all the time where, you're just being rude. Like, no, you're going to have days where you don't like yourself, so you don't like anybody else.
It's definitely not a fantasy, but you can have everything you want. It's just a matter of
Absolutely.
if you believe it, right? You have to believe that you are worthy of the things that you want so that you can attract them into your life. And in the meantime, right? Instead of working about it, in the meantime, focus on self so that you're ready for that healed man you say you want. Because if you get a healed man in your space and you're on fuck shit, he is going to run away from you like the
Oh, and
plague.
that's always where I stump people because I have so many people like, I just want to be married. I'm like, are you ready to be married?
Right.
Do you have the qualities, the energy, the criteria that is required of you to be married? And then
Right.
what type of marriage do you want? Do you want to be a housewife? Because if you
Right.
want to be a housewife, can you cook?
Right.
Can you fulfill the roles or duties that you're asking for? As well as, why don't we just enjoy being friends with people?
Right. For a while, or get to know.
I think that's so important because something that I've always loved to do is like look at, old people that are married, and I always ask them questions like, how did y'all make it this far? And the common answer was always, oh, we're friends more than anything else. Because there's like, there's times I hate him or I hate her. And the only thing that helped me stay committed to this person is because at the end of the day, I know that's my best friend. And I could be mad and not be attracted to them this day. But the fact that I know we have that foundational friendship, that's always what allows that full circle to come back where I'm like, she over here looking good. Maybe I was tripping last week and I was just being mad, So it's like that sparked those romances, those moments always come back. But also think about it. If you plan to be with somebody for 70 years,
Right.
do you really think every single day is going to be the most romantic experience? Because your personal life isn't even like that, right? So that's why I feel like, again, we suppress so much because we're focused on the goal. But it's like we need to learn how to enjoy the journey more and that what that process looks like. So it's like, yeah, you need to know the person that you're getting involved with. Don't get me wrong. I know there's people out there that meet somebody and then 2 months get married and then they've been married for 20,000 years. That happens. It's definitely possible. But
Happened for me almost.
it happens for sure. But I also noticed in those people too, those are people who were sure about themselves, that trusted themselves, that had a certain understanding of boundaries too, that even if they knew they weren't perfect, they still knew, oh, but I still gotta ask this person questions. I still gotta understand who I'm dealing with. So it's like that's what makes it work still and why you are able to rush it because y'all were vulnerable.
Right. It takes a lot. And I think I really wanted to be married, and his parents been married for so long. And so when we met and we just realized that we were connecting in that way, we got engaged and we got married in 1 year. And so, but I think, I always tell people I've been in and out of love with my husband twice. Like, and that is
Come
a
on,
real
talk about
thing.
it.
It's a real thing. I always loved him, but in love is something that fluctuated because of all the work we were doing, the healing. It got ugly for a while, and then we figured out how to communicate. We figured out how our traumas and triggers were showing up and made those changes and adjustments. So it is a real thing. It's not going to be beautiful every single day, but the beauty of the whole thing is that you have understanding and you don't point the finger at the reason why something's not working at your partner and walk away before you can really experience the beauty of it. You know what I mean?
And I feel like another great tactic and tool to navigate through healing and relationships is you have to identify what this problem is, right? Is this me versus me? Is this me versus this person? Is this me versus society? Like,
Right.
what category is this situation that's being played out? Because 9 out of 10, we look at a situation as person versus person, when it's usually society as actually playing a role, or it's you versus yourself, where and that person versus themselves, but y'all think it is you against each other, that this is
Basically.
also where we, bypass a lot of things because you're not fully identifying what is being played out in experience to
Correct.
be able to navigate how to heal it, how to resolve it, how to be more solution-based. Because that's another thing too. A lot of people
Solution
want to
based.
be married but aren't solution-based. So
Got it.
then, like you said, you could meet that great man and he will run because you are person versus person instead of person versus self, so that you could be person and solution with that other person.
Absolutely, girl. I will.
Because we, not just the last thing I was gonna say is we over sell ourselves. So then when that relationship happens, we'll blame the other person too for why it didn't work, and we won't take accountability for ourselves and our own actions too and our own healing process.
That is so true. I'm like, me and you could talk about this all day. We can talk all day, but I know the people that are listening are thinking, I need to know where this girl is at on social media. So
Yes,
where can they
yes.
find you?
Yes, so I am Nefersoul, Nefersoul on Instagram and TikTok. And you can always just head to the link in my bio to get all the direct links to even this summit, that's happening. Share the link with other people. My website, I have a meditation book that I published. I make crystal jewelry, so to help you physically heal, subconsciously heal, stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, you can find me on both Instagram and TikTok. And you'll find links to everything else that you possibly want to work with me, to navigate with me. Because, my free gift to you guys are also a free mini reading. So you'd be able to go straight to the link here as well, which will also bring you to my website that you can also reconnect with me, whether it's personally or for other readings or services as well.
Yes, and you want to take advantage of that free reading, y'all, for real.
Because
So,
come on, let's be real. Y'all be wanting the tea, so come get the tea.
right. Well, thank you so much for coming. I really, really enjoyed this conversation, and I'm sure they did too. So, yes, we have to do this again sometime.
Yes, thank you so very much for having me and even letting me share my wisdom and my experiences, because this is a topic that I feel we need more real conversations about, where it's not just about us playing the blame game. Because at the beginning, middle, and end of the day, we all need each other, and we need to stop feeding in the narrative and instead of avoiding the healing. We need more conversations, we need more accountability, and I'm just so thankful for you to hold space like this and allow us to share solutions and not negative, toxic narratives.
Now, that interview was amazing, but you don't want to go anywhere. Our next speaker is a money coach, and she's here to teach us how to be confident in our money story so that we don't fall in love for the wrong reasons or stay for the wrong reasons. I'll see you over there.